Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. It is August 20th, 2020. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. One of the most eerie things I've ever seen in my life. One of the most terrifying, frustrating, upsetting things that I have to say I have seen in years is when I turned on the little television tube this morning and saw the face and heard the voice of Barack Hussein Obama speaking for the DNC last night against the president of the United States of America. Everything in me, in my calm, gentle, lamb-like nature, changed into a violence against that man, his face, his words, his looks. And I thought, Lord, rebuke this man, shut his mouth, and send him away. But he just won't go away. It's kind of like COVID-19, kind of like the China virus, kind of like the deception everywhere and the plague and the pestilence. That man brought a plague and a pestilence to the shores of America, and he won't go away. He won't leave. Is he the Antichrist? Did Jesus refer to him when he said, I saw Satan as Barack Obama? Which is the transliteration in the Latin and the Greek and the Hebrew when you put it all together. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. All those words mean I saw Satan as Barack Obama. Will he be the embodiment of Lucifer? I don't know. Whatever the case is, his face should not be seen in this country because that would be the exaggerated judgment upon the United States of America, for God to allow that man's voice to be heard on the airwaves, for God to allow that man's face to be seen in this country, is a sure sign of divine judgment upon a nation that has decided to not follow the Lord. And all I have to say about that is, Mamma Mia, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe I woke up after such a sweet night's sleep, seeing the face of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, a disgrace to the Italian race. Honestly, she really is. And all the rest of these people, they have no message. All they do is lie. And what they are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They're liars. They are so drooling with demonic stench. It's absolutely amazing. And I don't want to sound mean, and I certainly don't want to cause any trouble anywhere, you know, but I can't believe the unclean spirit that is being unleashed by the DNC while America has been shut down, while churches no longer gather together to pray against this nonsense, right? And all this crazy, insane stuff is going on in the world. Well, I got news for Nancy. I got news for Elizabeth. I've got news for Hillary. I've got news for Barack. I've got news for Michelle. I've got news for Chuck and all the rest of these blasphemers, these filthy, unclean demons that have occupied these people. I got news for you. There's a kingdom of God coming that you're not going to be able to touch, that's going to take your head off. And I'm telling you, it's true. And I believe that Jesus Christ told us about this kingdom, and I'd like to read a little bit about it. And I would like to turn to Luke chapter 9. You see, it's all me today. You get me for an hour and a half today. Praise God and pass the ammunition. We'll need a lot of it. But listen, I've got a lot to say. I've been listening to a lot. It's been a pretty awesome weekend. We've had some controversial issues. We've been talking about incredible things. We've been absolute. We're not wishy-washy about what's going on. We know that God in the Spirit in the heavens has spoken. Prophetic words have been uttered. Dreams have been realized. The heavens are speaking. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars all around the world. And I just know that there is something that we need to know. But I want to plant into your mind today. I want to plant into your spirit today. I want to plant and let it, like Jesus said, sink down into your consciousness. I want you to get something. And I'm going to begin today in Luke chapter 9. But before I do, I'm going to do something else. Before I do, I want to welcome everybody out there, definitely. But I want to share right now something for all the friends, because I'm realizing that we are moments away from the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So on the screen right now, I'm showing you our website, okay? This is the New Wine Ministry website. And that website is nwmglobal.org. And if you're looking right now on YouTube or Facebook, you're seeing our website on the air. And I want to take you to a specific spot. I'm going to go over here to the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, we're on the homepage right now, and there's pictures going through there. But if you go to the right on this little place right here, and you go to Feast of Tabernacles, you can see a registration tab. And if I click that registration tab, you'll notice that there is a place for you to put your name, okay? You can put your name there, your first and last name, put your email, number of persons that you believe are coming. You click down here and you can say there's seven of us coming. You could send a copy of this message to yourself if you want to, and then just submit it. And what that does is lets us know how many people are coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. Then if you go back over here and scroll, you'll see the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. You'll notice that we have Roll Away the Reproach of My People, October 2nd through October 9th, right there. And the scripture is Joshua 5:9. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, which is super important for God's people to know that God's going to do that so that we could face the battle, the incoming battle, the spiritual warfare with greater confidence than we've ever had before. And then I wrote a little bit down here. Welcome to the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Roll away the reproach of my people is the great feast. And I have to get over here now to start looking at that. So I'm not, you could read that. You could read all of that. Okay. But just wanted you to see there's a host of speakers. It tells you right over here, Friday, October 2nd, both Patricia and I will be greeting the body of Christ. And then Saturday, October 3rd, I will be speaking that evening alone. And then Sunday, October 4th, Patricia will be speaking. Then we get into the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that is morning and evening. And Monday morning, Pastor Ken Wagner is going to be speaking under the tent up on the Ark. And that evening, Monday evening, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt from Tennessee will be speaking on October 5th. Tuesday morning, Pastor Michael Villarin will be speaking under the tent. And Tuesday evening, Pastor David Obenauer will be speaking. Wednesday morning, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, Wednesday evening. And it has all the names there, but this is subject to change. I want you to know that. It's all subject to change. We have Victoria, Pastor Victoria Obenauer will be speaking on October 8th. Pastor Dave will be speaking again on Thursday, October 8th. So there's a lot going on there. It's all subject to change. God is in control. But I just wanted you to see this, you know, where this is all going. And then if you go back here, you'll notice that there's an online Bible on our page. There's an events calendar. By the way, the events calendar, when you go to that calendar and you head on over to the month of September, you see, I have to enlarge the screen here. Let me do that just for a second. So you go to September. And then you go to October, and you'll notice October, Friday the 2nd, all the way through to the 9th. We have that recorded there. We have an online store as well. So if people want to get a digital book, there's Patricia's book right there, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, $1. You could download a book that'll change your life, $1. There it is. And all you do is you click on that. It takes you to this form. And that's the way that all works. And then you have, and by the way, we're going to be having some other books on there eventually. We're not selling the stuff. As you know, a $1 download for her book, that's not breaking the bank, is it? It's just simply that's how that helps pay for the website and all of that stuff. There's prayer requests on our website. If you need prayer, just put your name there, your email, your phone number, and talk about your prayer request. Submit it. There it is. We have a welcome package. There's Patricia and I, my beautiful Italian wife, right there, Patricia Joy and I, and we have a little hello to everybody. And then if you want to, by the way, you see this down here? This is the YouTube and Facebook videos. Ooh, look at that mug. But there is the third wave rising. That's a prophecy right there on the homepage, or that's on the YouTube and Facebook videos. I'll be downloading a lot of videos on there. You go to the homepage again, scroll down just a little bit, and that was from our conference for the Feast of Passover a few years ago. But there you have Daniel and I. You have us on an evening Bible study and one of our Omega radios. Now down here, look at this. Just go to our website. You can commit Omega Radio. It'll take you right to our Omega radio station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go down here and click on Facebook. It'll take you right to our Facebook page on Omega Radio Network. And you can click on the YouTube button, and it'll take you right to our YouTube so you can listen live. You could do anything you want to do. So this is our website. And also, just so you know, there is a donations tab there. And we want you to know that this donations tab, this will be very useful because we're about a month and 10 days away from the feast. We have a number of things we need to get, like a tent. We need to get the food, the literature, all the stuff that goes on, offerings for the people that are going to be coming, not offerings, as much as taking care of their travel and their place to stay and all of that stuff. So we're raising funds. I think Kevin has a fundraiser going on one of his pages as well. So this is just part of what we are doing. And so I want to get out of there just for the moment. And what I'll do is stop sharing that screen. And I'm going to go like that, and I'm going to bring us over here. So just in case you didn't know, NWM Global. Here, let me put it out there on the banners page right now. This is the website, nwmglobal.org, okay? And it'll take you to everything you need to know. I'll be upgrading and uploading more information on the Feast of Tabernacles as we go. So keep that in mind, Omega Radio. .org 24 hours, 7 days a week. NWM Global. That's where you could find everything we do. NWMglobal.org. By the way, those of you that are coming into Northwest Arkansas, there are hotels everywhere in Bentonville. One of the good hotels is the Wingate, right next to XNA Airport, which is very close to where the feast is going to be celebrated this year up on the Ark. There's about 11 acres being prepared for this great feast. And XNA has a Wingate Hotel, $55 a night, which is awesome. Those of you that want to camp out with your tents, you're welcome to do it on our property. If you have an RV or something you want to bring on down, there are some hookups. So don't feel like you have to go anywhere. You want to come and build a sukkah, do it. It's okay with us. So it's intended to be a wonderful feast. We're going to have this big tent, and we'll be meeting under there every weekday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which will be awesome. And on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we will simply be in the evenings. We are considering a few things, but I'll let you know when we get those considerations down. All right, so let's get back to what we're talking about, okay? I want to go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we've got a lot of information I want to share today, a lot of information, but I've got to focus now, because when I saw Barack Hussein Obama, when I heard his voice, when I heard his treacherous language, his deceitful tongue, his hypocritical and narcissism, it floored me. Honest to God, I had to pray. I actually had to go into a time of confession, and I'm not so sure I've been in repentance yet. But I confess, I don't like the spirit in that man. It's a godless, wicked, communistic, homosexual, horrible, demonic spirit. And to hear his voice speak after what he did to this country. But again, I have to step back and realize judgment. Judgment on the church, judgment in the nation. Because we've allowed it to happen. We allowed immorality. We allowed Antichrist laws to come to power, and we didn't do anything about it. And now we're watching the left that helped put these laws in power burn our cities down. And now we're hearing from other ministries out there that Cuomo is today or tomorrow starting they're going to start putting lines where people are going to have to go through and prove that they don't have COVID-19, that they've been tested. And anybody that's found with COVID-19 goes immediately into a 14-day quarantine. It's people trying to get into the city. What's going on? I don't know. We're going to talk a little bit about the judgment. But for the saints, okay, this is for God's kids. You love Jesus? Yes, I do. You love Jesus? How about you, right? So you love the Lord. He loves you. You're bound to him in covenant through his blood. You are a covenant believer in Jesus Christ, and you are connected to a better covenant with better promises than under the law of the Old Testament. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Let's admit the fact we are under a better covenant, a better everything, better promises. You have promises as a covenant believer. You are the house of Israel. You are the house of Christ. You are his body. You are his temple. You are his people. So what do you need to know right now? Because what I'm going to talk about probably in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, is the inevitable reality. We're not going to shrink. We're not going to leave room for maybes. We're going to go deep into it. We're going to cut through clear what we believe God is saying, like we've been doing almost every day on this radio broadcast. Now, here's where I want you to go. I want you to start thinking with me right now. Luke chapter 9. It's a pretty long chapter, but let's just march through it as long as we can. And I'm going to bring it out right now. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, let's stop for just a moment. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, that power and that authority was only given to the apostles or the disciples. Wait a second. You're telling me that during the church age, God left the church without power and authority to do what? To have power and authority over all devils, to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. You're saying that was only given to the disciples and the apostles 2,000 years ago, and when they left the world, that anointing, that authority, that power left with them, and God left the church without apostolic anointing, without power, without authority, that we no longer have the ability to rule over devils, we no longer have the ability to cure, no longer the ability to have power and authority to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Is that what people are telling you? that we don't have apostolic a power and authority anymore, that you as a believer don't have an anointing, you don't have spiritual power and authority to rule over devils, to cure the sick, to heal the sick, and to preach the kingdom, that only belongs. So what have we been doing for 2,000 years then? Think about it. You know it's a lie, just like Barack Obama, every time he opens his mouth and moves his lips, he's lying because he's a hypocrite. Don't go for that false narrative. This is what Jesus said, and I believe he wants you to hear this today. You're going to need it. Watch what this says. So I want to go over it one more time. Then he called his 12 disciples. Well, today he's calling all of his disciples, all of them, together, and he gave them power and authority. Do you have power? Do you have authority over all devils? All devils, not some devils, all devils. Yes, your answer should be affirmative. Yes, I do. Why? Because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, the Holy Spirit possesses and contains within himself righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what is that? The kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of meat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. The righteousness of God, the peace of God, the joy of God is in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. So when Holy Spirit comes into your life, do you not have authority and power? Jesus gave the disciples power. Now, it's power and authority over all devils. And this power and authority is to cure diseases. You have the power. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Has he not sent you? Come on. And to cure diseases. Verse 3. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. What is Jesus saying? You know, in the 1990s, Patricia and I, we were sent. We were sent all over this nation to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Patricia, in her ministry of deliverance, I can't tell you how many people stepped inside of our RV where she was casting demons out of people, bringing restoration, healing. We were showing up at meetings. We were doing the work that God told us to do, and it was effective. People were getting healed. Diseases were being cured. I'm telling you, the kingdom was being preached. And now we're getting ready to go again. And I just know this is true. This is for whosoever will. Now watch this. He tells them when they go, and I'm likening this. I'm being very honest with you. I know we're going. I know that God told us to make a request for an RV, and we have an RV. And the purpose is not to go on vacation, but to take the gospel everywhere people want it. Wherever there are demonic problems, we're coming to cast out the devils because we believe in the power and the authority that Jesus Christ has given us in his name. We believe that there is an anointing to heal the sick. We believe there is an anointing to preach the kingdom of God to the people that want to know about God. In a time where the devil is exalting himself and wickedness is coming, when these two kingdoms clash, I guarantee you Goliath's head is going to roll. It will not be the head of the saints. It will be the head of Goliath that is going to roll through a remnant ministry that knows how to wield the sword of the Spirit. But you have teachers and preachers telling you, you don't have authority, you don't have power. So if you believe that, you're stuck like Chuck, and God's going to raise up a remnant that are going to go forth and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. Listen, if there was not spiritual power and authority, we wouldn't be talking to you today. The devil that came against our lives and did everything in his power to take us out, if we didn't have spiritual power and authority, we would have gone down a long time ago. But there is power and there is authority for the saints of God. Every single last one of us has access to the power and the authority. Now, the Lord told them, just go. Don't worry about getting money. Don't worry about two coats. Don't worry about, just go. And that's where we're at right now. We're just ready to go. We've paid off our debts. We don't owe anybody anything. We just want to go. And I looked at some commentary about this, what Jesus was really saying. And I think I found some pretty good stuff. What Jesus was really telling them, he was teaching them a lesson. Let me just share the commentary with you. I thought this was awesome. And here's what the commentary says about the statement about don't take anything with you when you go. Watch this. Why were the disciples instructed to depend on others while they went from town to town preaching the gospel? Their purpose was to blanket Judea with Jesus' message, and by traveling light, they could move quickly. Their dependence on others had good effects as well. Number one, it clearly showed that the Messiah had not come to offer wealth to his followers. I thought that was an excellent point. But notice what this is saying. Jesus put the life of his disciples upon others, that others would open their house, that others would feed them, that others would take care of their needs. This was important for the second reason. Number two, it forced the disciples to rely on God's power and not on their own provision. You know, when you go out and you're sent with an understanding and your mind is clear and you're not worried about finances, you're not worried about anything, just knowing that God will take care of you in the houses that open to you, in the cities that will open to you, when God takes care of your food, when God takes care of your necessities, what you're doing. I mean, it would be nice to be loaded up and have everything and go out there and, you know, spend everything on taking care of the body of Christ. But that's not what he said to do. He said that we become dependent. Those that are going to go, the sent ones that are going to go in our generation to go to cities and go to towns and go to homes and equip the saints of God and impart the power of God and do the work of the kingdom. He says, you're not going to have to worry. You're just going to have to depend on me, and I'm going to let the body of Christ take care of you. That's a fact. Now, number three, he goes on and he says this. It involved the villagers and made them more eager to hear the message. This was an excellent approach for the disciples' short-term mission. And it is a short-term mission. This isn't the rest of our lives. And it says here, it was not intended, however, to be a permanent way of life for them. So it's when you go and the people that are opening their houses, the people that are opening their doors, the people that are making the meals, you read the Bible, that really encouraged the people. It was something that they put their hand to. And when a man of God or the disciples came or the women of God came and they were taking care of them, that was the economy of the kingdom of God. So if you're one of those sent ones and the time comes that God's going to send you forth, let the people of God bless you. I have rejected it in my heart for years. I've always not wanted to depend on people. I've always wanted to be able to be financially free so that I could go, because there was such an obsession about money and manipulation and to get from the people. The whole thing was to get money. But now we are living at a time that is not our heart. We've got a job to do. Rule over devils, cure diseases, preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and that's it. And you want to be focused on that. So let the body of Christ take care of the sent ones. And I believe eventually we're all called to be sent. I really do. We're all called to be sent. Let's go back to verse 5. Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now that's power. That is authority. And you need to start getting into your mind. You got to let these sayings sink down into your spirit. You've got to know the authority that Christ has given you. I know it's to the 12. It had to start somewhere. So it started with the 12. It didn't end with the 12. It began with the 12. And then the Spirit of God, as you know, was imparted, was released into the lives of all believers. Every single person that ever came to faith in Jesus Christ was to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That baptism was the authority and the power that came intrinsic into the life of a believer so that you could go and do the works that Jesus did. And the day that you get it and you want to go and you start having a cry in your heart, Lord, send me. Send me. I will go. And only equip me with your Holy Spirit anointing to do the work that you just said to be done, man, your life is going to take go to another level. I guarantee it. Now, folks, we're ready to go. We are looking at this word. We are ready to go. We believe. We believe. Verse 5 showed the power. You step into a city. You go to a house. They don't receive you. You just wipe the dust off of your shoes on that city. And what did Jesus say in another place? It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city that rejected the message, the kingdom, the anointing that God had for it without manipulation, without hypocrisy, without greed, without covetousness, just people that are going. But many of us, I know a lot of us, we'd rather have our coffers filled and then go and know that our needs are already met. No, we just need to have the needs to go, and then we need to let the body of Christ do what the body of Christ is called to do. Take care of that ministry, but receive the unction. Now, verse 6, they departed and went out through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They went. He sent, they went. He sent, they went with power and authority. He gave it to them. Now, it says in verse 6, they departed, they went out preaching everywhere. Verse 7, now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. They wanted to see Jesus because he was hearing of some power that not even John was operating in. Verse 10, the apostles, when they were returned, you notice how he gave to the disciples, they return and are called apostles. When they were returned, told him all that they had done. He took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. The people, when they knew it, followed him and received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. See how simple it is? Jesus shows up in a town. The people hear about it. They come. He heals them. He preaches the kingdom of God to them. It's just the work of Jesus. That's what he did. Now, what I think is ready to happen, take this in thought, potentially, I believe it's totally true, that when Jesus saw the 12 apostles return and they were telling him of what they just did, I believe he got so excited in his spirit that he began to effulgence. I think something stirred inside of him because the purpose of the kingdom that began with him, he was now sending it. He was now imparting it to the 12, and they were operating in the power, and I think Jesus was getting excited, but I think that Jesus knew that that power was going to continue to flow from one person to the next, from one generation to the next, that the entire church age was going to be filled, but there were many forces, many devils that came and said, cut off the anointing. Cease to have power and authority. Stop this apostleship. Stop this anointing. Rubbish. Rubbish. Pure rubbish. Why would Jesus Christ start a work, impart it to 12, and then say, it's all over now when they left? He wouldn't leave his church in such a condition. Now listen, you're going to see the apostolic anointing once again in the land. You're going to see the prophetic anointing once again in this earth. You're going to see witnesses like the two witnesses that are going to prophesy, and the heavens are going to respond to their words. You're going to see true pastors shepherding the flock of God, equipping them, getting them ready, rather than coddling them and making them weak and telling them just be okay. That's not what the true shepherds are for. True shepherds are taking the little lambs and raising them up into mighty warriors, taking little people like ourselves and raising us up to become everything God wants us to be. This idea of the gentle shepherd became so effeminate. Well, that's another story. You're going to see teachers. They're going to teach the word of God apostolically. They're going to break the code. They're going to bring doctrine that produces transformation. You're going to see it. And the evangelist that's going to go from house to house in the body of Christ with a preaching message is going to come with authority and power. And when they speak, the people in that house or that city are going to hear, and they're going to have things going on the inside of them. I believe this with every ounce of breath that I have. Let's go on in the scriptures now. Now, Jesus is ready to do some stuff because he's excited. And the people came and they were healed. Verse 11, Luke chapter 9, verse 12. Let's go there. And when the day began to wear. Now, where's Jesus? He's out in the city. He's preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And the people are coming, and everybody that had a need for healing, he healed them. So this is all going on. Verse 12, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, you see, the 12 always had their ideas, right? They said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. What were they saying? They were saying, we don't have enough food. It's getting late. They need rest. And they need to eat. But what does Jesus do? In verse 13, but he said, Jesus said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people. Lord, what are you talking about? You see, the 12 disciples, they had these personalities, these alpha personalities. They thought they knew. They thought that they had it together and what was reasonable, what was logical. You know, Lord, this is what you need to do right now. Lord, you need to send them away. And you know what the Lord did? He says, no, we're not going to send them away. You're going to go further. I'm going to take you deeper into your calling. I'm going to take you deeper into your ministry. I'm starting to feel like you 12 want them to go away because you're tired. You want to eat. You've had a good day. It's been a productive day. Now you want rest. So you think it's a good idea for me to send them away? Well, I don't think so, because I'm here to train you. I've only got so much time, and I can't have you lollygagging around not getting it, only half measure. I got to get you to understand something. So what does he do? Well, he says to them in 14, for they were about 5,000 men. Can we understand why they would think that was a smart thing to do? Sure, but it's not the plan. So there's above 5,000 men, doesn't show how many women and children. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So that, I did my mathematical calculations, that's 100 groups of 50s. All right, here's what I'm seeing. 100 groups of 50s. I would like to see in this country at this time, and I believe this is the heart of the Father, I would like to see 100 home fellowships. In other words, going into 100 townships or cities in this nation at this time, and seeing 50 of God's people gather together, sitting down, house fellowships, 50, city meetings, 50, just 50, 100 of them. And watch what happens. He says, sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Yes, 5,000 people mingling. You know, you get 50 people running around. It takes a lot to just say, sit down. Sit down. So the Lord is getting them to get everybody calm down. Sit down. I know it's late. You're hearing, we got to get them home. They got to eat. They're hungry. They're probably wondering, you know, what's going to go on. And else, Jesus said, get them to sit down. So now it's running late. He's got everybody sitting down because what being in the presence of Jesus is more than anything on this earth. Man, these people wanted to stay. It was the disciples that were thinking. These people wanted Jesus. They wanted more. He's healing them. He's talking to them. His words must have got into them. They were just, we want to sit with you. We want to dwell with you. We want to remain with you. We want to spend time with you. And I'm telling you that the Feast of Tabernacles is all about that. I believe we're probably going to host the Feast of Tabernacles the entire time on our property. We usually go to a building at nighttime. I think we're going to be spending the entire 8 days on the ark. And I just believe that's going to afford opportunity for people to just stay in fellowship all day long, after the morning meetings, after the lunch in the afternoon, spending hours of quality time just breaking bread and Jesus showing up to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what I'm leaning at. I was going to hold that back, but here we go. Now, verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples. He looked up to heaven, he blessed, he broke, and he gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. So he's got 12 disciples. He's now going to send them to feed the 100 groups of 50. Must have been a pretty big place, you know, pretty big place. Group of 50 here, group of 50 here, maybe rows of 10, 5 rows deep. Who knows what it looked like? Maybe an end time army with a formation. Only God knows. But then, what is it? He sets all the food before them, verse 17. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments. So there's leftovers that remained to them, 12 baskets. There's apostolic number right there, 12. That's authority. That's power. That's completion. The number 12. And there are 12 baskets left over. What's going on here? Jesus Christ, in the beginning of this chapter, ordained his disciples to go. They went. They did. They came back. They told him. He got turned on internally, and everything began to effulgence. And he's like, no, we're not done today, boys. We're going to go further and deeper. Listen, sometimes you abide in the presence of God. You think you got something. Stay a little longer because the Lord will do something greater. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't just go, okay, it's been an hour, preacher. No. Learn to stay in the presence of God. Sit down and let God do deeper things. We're moving into that kind of a season. I believe it with every breath of my being. I believe this is where we're going. The world is going where it's going, but we're going where Christ wants us to go. This is important for what we're going to share in just a moment. Now, verse 18, there's a shift in the environment. That's an amazing thing. Now, what happens after they eat? What happens after they all sat down and had bread and fish and saw the miracle? Who knows, man? Maybe they just passed out on the lawn and laid on each other's laps and took a nap. Who knows? But all we know is now that the scene shifts. It says in Luke 9:18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, Jesus got alone and he's praying. His disciples were with him. And he asked them, now this is such a unique thing. The master is around his disciples. They've just had an amazing time. And I could imagine while he's alone praying and his disciples were with him, what they were talking about. Lord, I can't believe, man. I can't believe that you just performed this miracle. What was going on in you? How did you do that? How did you take a few loaves of bread and some fish and feed 5,000 men? And only God knows how many children and wives were there and women were there. How'd you do that? And he's telling them and they're laughing. They're going, wow, they were just blown away. It was a great meeting. And they're enjoying what God just did. But now Jesus is saying to them, listen to this. He asked them, and he said, who say the people that I am? He's saying, hey, guys, if you hear the fire crackling around the campsite, and Jesus, in this moment of stillness, he speaks and he says, who do people say that I am? You're out there, guys. Who are they saying that I am? They speak up and they answered saying, some say you're John the Baptist, but some say you're Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. So the report is really good. The people couldn't deny what Jesus was doing. The only people angry with him were the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, the hypocrites, the people that had nothing to do with the mind of God to take care of his people, to take care of his creation, right? That's true. He was angry with those Pharisees. He was angry with those liars, those devils, those hypocrites. But his power is manifesting. It's imparting and something's growing on this earth. And there's a reason why you and I are here at the end of the end of the end of the ages, in the last days, in the end times, because the end is revealed from the beginning. And you're looking at the beginning of the gospel. And I guarantee you that the end is going to be like the beginning, but with a double portion of the power, authority, and anointing. Yeshua is going to show up, folks. I'm telling you, he's going to do some amazing things. But watch this. You know, people are thinking you're one of the old prophets that have risen again. How did they think that? Maybe you're Elijah. Maybe you're John the Baptist who had just been beheaded. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Okay, I hear what they're saying, guys. But I'm around you right now. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, mamma mia, Peter answering said, the Christ of God. What was he saying? You're the anointed. You're the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You're the one that the prophets wrote about. You're the one that the law spoke about. You're the one that was spoken of in the Garden of Eden when God prophesied to the woman of her seed. You're the one that all the prophets spoke about. You're the one that Moses referred to. You're the one that Abraham knew. You're the one that David spoke. You're the one. How did Peter know this? He spoke, you are the anointed one. Now listen, the anointed one, the Messiah, is right there. And what is he doing? He's releasing little by little into these disciples. And their understanding is awakening. It's awakening. They don't get it. They're halfway there. He does more. He's taking them deeper and deeper into something of the eternal purpose of God Almighty. Come on. Come on. Now, then he says to Peter, after Peter says, you're the Christ, he says to Peter, he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. All right, you got it, Peter. You guys just heard it. Don't tell anybody. I don't know why, but I'm telling you that Christ, the firstborn, he's about to multiply himself in people. And he's going to start with these 12 guys. One of them's a devil. He's going to deal with that issue and bring in another one that really is going to follow the Lord. This devil is going to have to go, this Judas, this demonic spirit of greed and avarice and covetous that's in a person's soul. Even though they're around Jesus, they're not going to have occupancy with him, and they're not going to receive the anointing, the bishopric upon them. Now watch. Don't tell anybody, he says. Don't tell anybody. Verse 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Be raised the third day. It began, folks, I got to say it. It began, and I'm talking to God's sons right now. Are you a son of God? You better know who you are. Any spirit comes knocking at your door to try to get influence in your heart, you better deal with that spirit all, right? Now, to the saints of God, this work of Christ, the Messiah, in their midst, began with Yeshua. He's passing it on to the 12 with the intention within the eternal purpose to pass it on to all who believe, all the disciples. There are special callings. There's a fivefold ministry. There's apostolic, prophetic. Yes, yes. But there's power and authority for all disciples. Remember, the next batch he sent out were the 70. Some say the 72. They were the next batch that went out after the 12. And they had the same results in chapter 10 of Luke. It's happening. There's been a clog in the last 2,000 years. There's been an opposition. There's been a dam built. I declare in the name of Jesus, that dam is coming down. That reproach is rolling out of the way. That stone that is intended to keep people in the tomb of darkness is being moved out of the way in our generation. And we're going to cross through like a mighty power on this earth, like a mighty force, equipped and armed with spiritual authority and power, that devils are going to freak out. And I don't use that term, but it's the only way I could describe what I know right now in the spirit. God is setting things up, and it's gonna explode through you. You see, that anointing, that anointed one, was intended to be pressed to ooze out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was going to sweat droplets of blood. What was that? He was going to be pressed like an oil press so that that anointing would go into his body. Oh, there's a double portion coming. There are bastions of oil, bastions of anointing that have not yet even been unveiled. But it's coming. It's coming. You watch and see. But first, that reproach has got to be taken out of the way. Now, here's what Jesus said. I have to be slain and be raised. He's talking resurrection power. The third day. Welcome to the prophetic third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. 2,000 years have come and gone. We are in the wee moments, in the season, and we're in the ballpark of the third day, the third millennial reign. And it's time for the double portion of resurrection life, resurrection power in a body called the disciples, in the body of Christ. My God, folks, may the Holy Spirit bring illumination, wisdom, understanding. May he awaken our conscience to understand what time it is. What time it is. Let's go on just a little bit further. In 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily. Daily. This is the word of the Master. And follow me. If you're going to come after me, deny yourself. Now, I want to look at that word deny there. Here's what God's telling us to do. Okay, that word deny is apernaome, and what it means to disown and to abstain. Imagine that. To affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with himself or with oneself. To forget one's self, to lose sight of one's self and one's own interests. Now watch this. You want reproach gone off your life, right? You want that stone to be rolled away? What a better way than to lose interest with yourself? What a better way than to forget to lose sight of who you used to be, about your wants, your needs, your desires. I think there are very few people that have ever stepped into this reality, but we're going there. We're going there, saints. We're getting there. Okay, we're coming through a lot of stuff. We're going to get somewhere. You watch and see. And by the time we get there, we're going to be shoulder to shoulder with an end time ministry that's going to do power on this earth and do some damage to the satanic kingdom. I foretell you, this is God's purpose and plan in his word. Oh, everything you've gone through, you didn't give up, you didn't quit, you didn't throw in the towel, you didn't turn back, you kept pressing and pressing, and everything you went through, it did something in your character internally, and all of a sudden, you're going to step into your high place. You're going to ride upon the high places of the earth. You're going to walk upon the high places of the earth. I love that teaching about the high place. Every one of us has a high place in Christ Jesus. You have a high place that God wants to get you to. Now, when you get to your high place, watch out. King David got to your high place through all that garbage he had to go through, finally got there and he blew it because he wasn't watching. We're going to get to a high place, but I believe when we get there singularly and then we meet up corporately with the real overcomers, we're going to stand like a mighty power. You know what the shoulder is? My government shall be upon my shoulders. We are the end time body. The shoulders, the head's got to be put upon the neck and the shoulders, right? So the shoulders always refers to government. How many of you think the government of God needs to be in this earth right now? He taught a Bible study last night out of Zechariah chapter 8 that in that day the most feeble among them shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, even as the angel of the Lord. We are the house of Christ, who is the seed of David. We are his house, and the most feeble among us shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. In this earth, in these last days. Do you understand? Oh, mamma mia. Okay, now, so Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross every single day. That means we die. We're carrying the cross every day, losing interest, looking out for others. We are dead, and which is great. Romans chapter 6, consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So our life, our living, our animation is what, God, are you doing? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I want to live for you. Well, okay, I'm glad you want to go, but King David, I've got to take you into the wilderness of Zin. I've got to allow Saul to come against your life. I need you to mess around with the Philistines. I need you to get into this on the run. Joseph, yeah, you're going to rule and reign, but I need you to go to prison. I need your brothers to try to betray you. I need you to go through something, Joseph. I need you to go through something, David. I need you to go through something, man of God. I need you to go through something, daughter of God. I need you to go through something. And the more you go through, that means you're getting deeper in the foundation to trust God for what he's got you to do in these last days. Come on. Come on. Is that all right? Praise God. And then he says, for whosoever, verse 24, Luke 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Who are you living for? Are you living for you, or are you living for Christ? What does he want you to do? He wants you to receive power and authority and operate in it in your home, in your business, in your sphere of influence. Everywhere you go, he wants you to preach the kingdom, heal the sick. He wants you to do everything that he did, and he's supplying the anointing. But first, he has to get the new wineskin. He has to get all that old stuff out of the way. He's got to get the reproach out of the way of your life. He's got to roll it off of you. The reproach of your failed marriage, the reproach of your past sins, the reproach of what you suffered, the reproach of your abuse. I don't know what your reproach is, but he's got to take it away to you to get unctioned and then to go. And if you want it, call out to him. Say, Lord, I don't want to live with reproach because that's all self-centered. That's me nursing my wounds. I want it gone. I want to be filled, and I want to go, and I want to do what you told me to do fearlessly. I want to do this. I want to live my life for you. This is what he's looking for. And all he's saying, you're going to try to save your life? You want to live for you? It's all about you? You've been burned? You've been burned? And you're going to nurse that the rest of your life? You can't be my disciple. You will never know the power that I had for you, because you nursed your selfish wounds. Time to let them go. Now, for what, in verse 25, is a man or woman advantaged if they gain the whole world and lose themselves or be cast away? You know, a lot of people are claiming to be Christians, but it's all about amassing wealth, getting prosperity. It's all about, you know, well, I'm going to do this to support the kingdom. I've got news for you. I've been a pastor for 28 years, and I have heard at least 25 people say to me, oh, I want to go out there and make a lot of money so I could undergird the ministry. Baloney. They never do it. I'm telling you a truth. I've watched people go, well, I want to go and become a businessman so I could undergird the ministry. I'll tell you who does it. It's the people that never say that. They just do it. The people that fool themselves, they play with themselves. They play with their emotions. Oh, I'm going to go and make a lot of money. And when I make enough money, I'm going to start sowing into the ministry. I'm going to undergird the work. They never do it because they never make enough. They're not even faithful with the first fruits of a tithe, let alone an offering. That's hard for them, tithes and offerings. My God, you're going to undergird a ministry that's ready to go all over the nation and the world? You better start being faithful with the little right now. I'm just saying. Even if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, it's a bunch of baloney. Now listen, for whosoever, Jesus said in verse 26, shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Are you ashamed of anything Jesus Christ has ever spoken or said or done? Heck no. Then if you are, though, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he shall come in his own glory, in his Father's and of the holy angels. Mamma mia, that's his coming, isn't it? That's the second coming of the Lord. And then he gets on into this very powerful, but I've got to stop for a moment. I got to stop. I got to find out where we are, what's happening. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, right? All right, so what I would like to do right now, first of all, wow, I don't know why that's happening. Let's see. Are we still there? Are we broadcasting? Are we live? Praise God, are we live? Are we live? Are we live? Are we here? Are you there? Hey, listen, let me just say hello to a number of people that are on Facebook and YouTube. Good morning to Jim Miller. God bless you, Jim. Thank you for your comments. Cindy, good morning to you. God bless you. Sharon, good morning from Hinesville, Arkansas. Hey, Sharon, I bet we're going to get to meet you during the Feast of Tabernacles. God bless you. Carol Carey, good morning, Pastor and brothers and sisters. It's a good day to praise the Lord. I agree. Praise God. You're speaking the truth. Chuck, amen. God bless you, Chuck, by the way. Good to see you. Victoria, oh, brother, pastor, Melissa, and I just spoke of lies from the enemy on our blog. Amen. Keep preaching it and standing on God's word. Guess what, Victoria? We're going to see you in just a few weeks with your husband, David. You guys are going to be so welcome down here. God bless you. Can't wait to hear the anointing coming out of your lives. Cindy, Pastor Vincent, you're on fire. Amen. I feel a little fiery today. Overflow from last night. Victoria, good morning. Deb, okay, we got Carol. I agree with you, Pastor. Obama, I could not watch the DNC. It gets under my skin, and all I do is yell at the TV. That's so right, Carol. We do the same thing. You should see the look my wife gets when she looks at that TV. And she'll walk right up to it. She'll point her finger at it. Her eyes will narrow, that little Italian thing and that anointed thing. And man, woof, sends shockwaves. I believe Trump, Carol says, will win by a landslide, as I have been reading many comments on post-polling the election. So, praise God. If Trump wins, we'll see. We will see. I hope the heck he does, too. And I hope, I have a lot of hope. So, let's keep going. Kathy from South Dakota. Hello from South Dakota. Hello, Kathy, to you and Ken. Sonia, Tyler, Texas. Good morning, Sonia. We're missing you all so much down there. It's been too long. We've got to get together soon. And I want to say good morning again to Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Pastor Kevin, I need to talk to you about your stuff. So, Kevin, Pastor Kevin, next week, I want you to do an interview with me. Next week, I want Pastor Dave to do another interview with me. I want to be in contact with you, gentlemen. I want to be in contact with you as we get ready for the great Feast of Tabernacles. So let's begin to make some contact. I know everybody's busy, but it's going to be so good to see everybody. all right. So Marissa, good morning, friends. Good morning, Marissa. Let's keep on going down the road here. I see Deb Gagneau is with us. Deb, welcome to the broadcast today. Let's see who else is out there. Dean. Good morning, Dean. Good to see you today. God bless you, sir. Looking forward to talking to our friend we were talking about last night. Let's go on and say to, oh man, you guys are really doing a lot of commenting out there, which is really cool. Jesse Jarnigan. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the holy fire. I agree. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mango Noor. He says, Allah is the one. Mango, listen, let's talk. Allah has no son. Listen to me, okay? We're not trying to insult you, but let's just talk, Mango. Allah, according to the Dome of the Rock, has no son. Yeshua, the prophet, Isa, said, he who denies the son denies the father. So if Allah is the Father, then you have to receive his Son. To deny the sonship of Yeshua is to deny the Father. That makes Allah another God, a false God. He's not the true God. He's a false God. And that makes his prophet Muhammad a false prophet. And all the people that follow his teachings are deceived. And it's important to know, Mango, that in Iran, Afghanistan, throughout the Middle East, Muslims are coming to faith in Yeshua, the Isa, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, all over the Middle East and around the world. It's time, Mango, to stop worshiping the moon god, Allah. Now, if you think he's the same God as Abraham had, Yahweh, whoever you, if it's the same God of Abraham, then you have to understand the Son. If the Jewish people reject the Son of God, Yeshua, as the Son, they don't even have the right God anymore. They're not worshiping. They have denied the Father. And so both in the world of the flesh are groaning under their religion. And it's time to come out of religion into a relationship with your Creator who loves you and has a plan for your life and a purpose. I've just told you the biblical truth. You have a right to say anything you want to say, but don't say Allah is the one. He's not the one unless he's the one who has a son. And if he has a son who we could honor, praise the Lord. So that's just a little thought, and that was for our friend Mango. God bless you, and I pray that you will come to the truth. So let's go. Keith Carey, good to see Keith this morning. Good morning, Pastor and Carol. Thank you for what you said about Mr. Obama. When will he be arrested for treason? I hope today. Praise God. Donna, Lord, help us to forsake ourselves and serve others and feed them the truth they hunger for. Amen to that. Kathy Brun says, travel is going to be restricted shortly in America. We must work while it is day, as the night comes when no man can work. It's happening fast. We agree. We're ready to go. Anybody wants to have kind of Bible studies like these and get in the Word and pray and do all getting ready? We're ready. We're ready, waiting for your call and your invitation. All right, let's go on just a little bit deeper here. Some good. I like Pastor Kevin. You got to love this. He says, Mamma Mia. That's a hoot. Mamma Mia. I think we're getting connected, Pastor Kev. God bless you, sir. All right, so we have a little more going on. Michelle Brown, yes, in the spirit, I saw the dam. Ooh, the dam that was holding back. It was blocked, and all of a sudden, there was a rushing water and a force that blasted the wall of rocks. Oh, praise God, Michelle. Amen and amen. Let's go. Where are we here? We got, I forgot the long word for deny. Okay, we got that. Sonia saying amen. IA, I don't know who IA is, but IA is saying amen. All right. Carol, Michelle, Pastor, praise God. It's all good. You guys good? Everybody good? David Ellison, thank you for this. Amen. Barbara Lee Dixon, good morning and God bless all of you. Thank you for the blessing, Barbara. God bless you and may the Lord bless you as well. Man, it's just, you guys are doing great out there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Dennis Sossaman, yes, you are definitely live. Cindy says, Mamma Mia. All right. Hey, Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. Is Blog Talk working? I'm going to open the telephone lines right now. And if you would like to call into the broadcast and you have a comment you would like to make, the number to call is 818-369-0326. Now, there's a balance to this message today. But I want to just know if Blog Talk Radio is working. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Let me know that you're hearing us on Blog Talk. It seems to be working well, but I would love to know if we are. Just anybody, press 1 on the dial pad. Let's know what's going on. Maybe I've got a little thing right here. All right, all right, all right. Check this out. Praise God. Brother Wayne is out there. Anybody else? No Blog Talk? 818-369-0326. Anybody out there? Going to press 1 for us on the dial pad. 818. Oh, we do have something. Let's go ahead and take this call. I'm starting to feel lonely out there. Hello, area code 479. Are we on the air all this time?
321. Yes, absolutely. Loud and clear.
Miriam, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, what a wonderful message. Oh.
Thank you. Are you dancing with a tambourine prophesying today?
I believe I am. Thank you.
God bless you, Miriam. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Anything you'd like to share over the airwaves? You want to release anything, impart anything? Anything.
Well, when you were talking to Mango, I heard the kernel I've needed to know because I have talked a number of times with Islamic people, and I heard the truth about, well, I knew Allah had no son, but now I realize when they believe that, they are denying Jesus, and therefore they are denying the Father, and that's what I needed to know. And I'm so thankful for that. I mean, the Holy Spirit always works in spite of us. But I heard that kernel of truth that it just is powerful. It really nails it for me.
Wow. Awesome. Well, glory to God. Can you repeat one more time? What was the kernel? I was typing something. You said you heard a kernel. What was it?
Well, it ties in with the thought, they know Allah has no son.
Right.
And because of that belief and that insistence on, you know, he's the true God, which he isn't, to point out that our Father, God the Father, the real God, has a son, and his name is Isa or Yeshua or Jesus.
Right.
And it's to deny the son is to deny our Father. And
right.
That's the truth there.
Got it. Love it. Amen. And what we need to pray for the Jew and the Gentile, Muslims, Buddhists, whoever, that the darkness, that the devil has caused, the veil that is over their mind. The Bible says through the Apostle Paul that the God of this world has blinded their minds. And so we need to have a covering cast over the minds of the nations, shredded. And the way that's going to happen is by the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God with power and authority and anointing. And God has every person out there listening right now as a repository and a depository where he could put his word and then send it out without reproach, blocking it with power and authority and anointing. And I guarantee, man, Muslims all over the world are getting born again. They're receiving their Messiah. Jewish people all over the world, Buddhists, are receiving the Messiah. It's a hard nut to crack, but man, I believe God's going to do something and release something in our generation. Very powerful, very, very powerful. Amen, Miriam. God bless you.
Thank you. Pastor, I have one more thought.
Sure.
I was had encountered this Jordanian man one time on the street. I was doing street witnessing, and he says, "Oh, I'm already a Christian." I said, "Praise God. How could you tell me how that came about? Because you appear to be Middle Eastern. Where are you from?" He said, "Jordan." I said, "What was that truth that captured your heart about Jesus?" And he said, "Forgiveness. There is no forgiveness in Islam." That just was like a thundering dynamite explosion in my heart. It's like the forgiveness of Jesus is what they long for.
As we all do. You're right on. And the bondage and the legal, I mean, the whole thing is really messed. So to every Muslim that may be listening right now, listen, the creator has a son. And I guarantee you that son did something that the world, and I know the Quran says that God would never allow his prophet Isa to go to the cross. He went to the cross. He died the death. He shed his blood. He felt the pain for you. He loves you. It's the truth of God Almighty. You can reject that if you want to, because you want to hold on to your religion that came from a guy, you know, named Muhammad. You can do that, but there's one greater than he, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're going to listen to Jesus and Isa, not through a corrupted scripture, which, you know, this is the argument, well, your book is corrupted. No, the Quran is corrupt. Let's be honest. It's twisted, confused, and corrupt. That's the truth. But you want to listen to the true Yeshua, the Isa. He loves you. He died for you. Allah didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. Anybody shed their blood for you? For the forgiveness of your sins, Yeshua did, because he loves you. Let's just make that very clear. All right. Very good, Miriam. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.
God bless you. God bless your boldness. I appreciate you calling in. All right. We'll wait for your calls right now. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, remember when you call in, 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad, and then I'll bring you right into the broadcast. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt says, "We witnessed to India and Pakistani Muslim family here in East Tennessee. They listened and cried. They longed for the love of God." How perfect is that, Pastor Kevin? I like Carol Carey says, "It will be amazing when the 144,000 sealed servants of God preach to all nations the gospel of Jesus Christ, with many coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." Amen to that. Amen to that. Let's take this call coming in from 916. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent.
Good morning, Brother Mark. How are you today? Buongiorno.
Goodness gracious. Mamma mia. Buongiorno. I'm just extremely blessed. We had such a wonderful Bible study last night. It was just phenomenal. Praise God. I'm still hoarse this morning from shouting in prayer and praying in the spirit. I'm still hoarse. My voice has got sandpaper going on, and I'm just as happy as can be.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God for that. So what's on your heart? Talk to us.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just wanted to piggyback briefly on what Miriam just said regarding forgiveness, the lack of forgiveness in Islam. I feel sorry for that. forgiveness is the power of the Lord, which is put into our hearts when we believe in his son, Jesus the Christ. Forgiveness is what allows us to unburden ourselves, to carry on, to do the work in the kingdom. If we don't have forgiveness, then we're burdened, then we're pressed down into the mud. And in order to do the kingdom work, in order to overcome, we have to rise up out of the mud. That's what the Lord God had in mind when he sent his son, Jesus, to take care of our sins, to get rid of our sins, to abolish our sins. You know, it's all about forgiveness. And if the religions that are connected with Islam are lacking in forgiveness, then, oh, my goodness, that is a tragedy. And I just feel bad for people who are hooked into that. Having said that, my heart mourns for those people who we know, who you know and I know and my wife knows, and those people around us who are not yet connected with the concept of needing to be an overcomer. Jesus said those who hang on to their lives, who hold on to their lives, will lose their lives. And those who give up their lives for Christ will have life eternal. Now, that's, I'm just paraphrasing. But the idea is that if we refuse to change, if we refuse to hear the word of God, if we refuse to take the word of God deep down into our hearts, then we're missing out. And I feel sorry for people who are so obstinately refusing to change. And so I offer up a prayer that those family members of ours, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, whomever is holding on dearly to the old heart that they have, the stony heart, I pray that they're able to hear the word of God, they're able to feel the tenderness of Jesus, and to be lit on fire so that they're willing to give up their life so that Christ can inhabit their heart, so they can move on, so they can become an overcomer. That's my prayer this morning for those of us who just cannot yet hear. Hmm. That's my story, Pastor, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen. Very good. Brother Mark, thank you for sharing. Thank you for weighing in. Great call and a prayer for healing and restoration. You see, the shame and the disgrace that was rolled away 2,000 years ago in the blood of the Messiah, it's something about our faith catching up with that reality, but it's also a season where Christ is going to purpose. There's a purpose here for destiny. You'll never arrive at your place of destiny, and if you believe in destiny, maybe you don't. To me, what it means is you step into your calling. It's that you're stepping into your purpose, your assignment on this earth, and it takes you into the eternities as well. It's already done, but this is a season. And unfortunately, it's not just whimsical, wave a wand and it's done. No, it's about your faith and my faith getting and allowing this to happen. And unfortunately, people will go into these end times with that shame still on them, never having allowed the cross to deal a death blow to the ghost and to the sins. They never got the devils cast out. They never got healed and cured. This time that's coming will be very troublesome. I began to feel a moment ago the grief in my spirit because I know the good news. Folks, we've always known the good news. We've always believed what we're saying today. This isn't a new epiphany to us. We know the third day. We know the power. We know the anointing. We know that the end is revealed from the beginning, and what began in the church age with Yeshua is going to come to a crescendo with a double portion. I know that, but it's not for everybody. It's for everybody, but not everybody will walk in it. Not everybody will receive it. And there's grief. There's grief. I know that there are people everywhere that understand that normally Donald Trump should win the election hands down, a landslide. I get that. Something's wrong. I'm not speaking against anything. I know I had a dream, 11 months ago now, that Joe Biden won the election when everybody else was running. And now you're seeing all the cats come out. Barack Obamas and the Hillary Clintons and the even Colin Powell and Republicans like John Kasich, who is running for Republican presidency, liar. These people are now gathering together against what we know would be more advantageous for the principles and the values of an American society in normality and morality. But that's gone now, you see. The morality, the normality is gone because of the socialists, the communists, the Satanists that are ruling. The only right thing to do if we want to see, I'm telling you, I just know what's right. You got to arrest every one of them. You got to hang them before the courts. I mean, you got to do what they did, right? You got to get rid of them. You have to get rid of them. Because they're treasonous devils. You have to get rid of them, right? But how? You have to, Trump, take the power of his administration, go and lock up Barack Hussein Obama for treason against the United States, lock up Bill and Hillary Clinton. We're on Lolita Express. Why isn't there a locking up? Oh, there's going to be. There's going to be. You sure? How far down the road are we in the end times? You're going to, again, America being great? America being great? Because Donald Trump wins, but we still murder innocent babies. We still have men marrying men. You know the story. The end. I want to read it to you. I'm going to take these last moments. If you have the guts to hear what God has to say, and I know you do, saints. This is it. I read it 2 days ago. I'm going to read it one more time. What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade. But by trusting Pharaoh, government power, you will be humiliated. And by depending on him, you will be disgraced. For though his power extends to Zoan and his officials have arrived in Hanes, all who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. We're here to get shame and disgrace off our lives. But I just saw another call come in, and I want to respect and honor that. 865. Let's take this call. Good morning. Never saw this number before. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Praise the Lord.
Hey, Pastor Kevin. How are you, sir?
Doing outstandingly great, blessed in the Lord, and truly saying, I'm blessed, I'm thankful, I'm happy. And my, man of God, you telling it. You telling with truth. You telling with passion. You telling with power. It's needed for this hour.
Amen. God bless you, sir. What is in your heart? Are you ready to come to Northwest Arkansas and light this
place
up?
We are excited. We're excited. We're getting ready. I've been telling people, they said, what? Listen here. I had some people say, what? You going to leave the state? Yes, we are. What? You going to be gone for a while? Yes, we are. Had even some said, well, are you worried about the – I said, I'm not worried. We're going by faith. We're going with an invitation, and the Lord is going to do something wonderful and powerful, and we're so honored to be a part of it. We're excited. We're coming. We are coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Right? There it is. Listen, I've just got my note. We're 60 seconds out. Pastor Kevin, we're going to look forward to meeting with you, sir. God bless you next week. We're going to do a live one-hour interview. Again, we're going to talk about what God's putting in your heart. We're going to just keep communicating until that great feast and God's people are gathered together. We will see each other face-to-face. God bless you, man of God. Shalom.
God bless you. Bows on the way. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. I love that. All right. We're going to have to say goodbye. We got a busy, busy day ahead of us. I trust that you're going to be blessed. I was going to read that. I can't read that right now. And it's okay. I'll see you tomorrow. Lord willing, with bells on. Saints of God, be super blessed. Remember, to like us on the thing, subscribe if you need to, and donate. We need donations for the Feast of Tabernacles. We got a $20,000 goal. We need your support. Please go to nwmglobal.org. That's nwmglobal.org. Donate to the ministry. We would appreciate it. If you want to just give out of the goodness of your heart because you're so happy, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go right now. There is a roundtable discussion on OmegaRadio.org, another benefit for the body of Christ. This one's a doozy. Patricia Joy, up right now. Shalom and God bless.